well, we're going to get started. Hopefully we get a few more attendees. I'm going to let Commissioner Metzger give us a little welcome, but just so you know, we are recording these for future reference, and we hope to have them up on our website.
Well, welcome for joining us today. This is the section for the municipalities as we look to work our way through the CARES Fund Act and how we're going to distribute it. So we've been first with the businesses, then we worked with the nonprofits, now the municipalities, and later today we'll be with Fire EMS. So as we continue to move forward, we're glad that you joined us, and hopefully the monies can be utilized for your entity that you're associated with, and it can help. This has been a huge crisis for everybody, and everybody's been affected by it, and we've been granted this allocation of money. We want to get it out as soon as possible. We just have to make sure that how we do so is accurate, so nobody has to pay it back, and that the receipts are turned into the audit and it's done correctly. Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. I'm going to head out. We have a bunch of meetings across the street, so I'm going to head back to that. That's been a fun 3 weeks.
Sure.
And as we narrow that down and try to get out of the budget process and get a balanced budget before the beginning of the year. So thank you again for joining us, and good luck to each one of you.
Thank you, Commissioner. As we're moving through, you can put your questions in the chat box, or since we have such a small group, please feel free to ask us questions as we go through. I really don't think it'll get too congested. So we do expect we'll have to do a lot of reach out to the municipal entities, but we are hoping that we can help you with the funding relief and through the COVID block grant. As Jenny has told you before, everything is on our website, which is thelifer.org/COVID relief. Any new updates will be placed on that website. You can find the applications, you can find the W-9 forms, anything that you need for this, you can find there. You'll find the eventually get the recordings there within the next day or two of these different recording sessions, especially if you know somebody who is eligible for the nonprofit or Fire and EMS, or if you see one of your cohorts from another municipality who didn't participate, please feel free to say, hey, did you see this? We also have a question email where you can submit the applications to, and Jenna will be posting that. That in the chat box, please feel free to send any questions, or you may call us at the main number. We have staff that are available to answer questions. Feel free to do so. The municipal applications will be due on October 9th. We hope to have those applications all together, review them, verify the information, and then have answers back to municipalities within 2 weeks after that. There will be subrecipient agreements that are required for disbursement of the fund. So we will have to have you sign those before we can disburse any allocated funds to your entity. We are partnering with CEDACA, Kristen Moyer, their community relations director, is on the phone. Is on the Zoom call with us. She'll be going over some of the specific items that are covered, but we're also using them ourselves because we need the help with the auditing. All these funds are federal funds administered through DCD, and we hope that they'll be the lead on the audit because we don't want to have to deal with that. I'm sure you all understand that. So Kristen is our liaison with CEDACOG. She'll be helping us answer all those questions. If you hadn't heard already, we had a small business grant program that was due last Friday. We're reviewing them now. And we'll hopefully have some grant funds out for our small businesses. We will also have learning center sites that are due tomorrow. And then the general nonprofits are due October 2nd. The municipality applications are due October 9th. And if there is a qualifying Fire EMS, if they're a 501c3, they may apply by October 2nd. That Zoom call will be at 3:30 today. And so if you know any of your fire EMS divisions that are 501c3 that would qualify, we would appreciate you asking them to attend the Zoom meeting at 3:30. I'm going to turn it over to Kristen now if she would like to go over some of the items that are eligible for funding.
Sure. Thanks, Shannon. As Shannon said, all of the information is posted on the County Relief Block Grant website. Just want to cover some things, some eligible use of the funds. As Shannon said, the application is due October 9th, and it is a 5-page application, and we do need the W-9, so form filled completed, because in order for you to receive a check from the county, we need that W-9 form. We will also need a list of your elected officials included in your application, as well as a copy of your 2020 municipal budget. And the county has allocated $250,000 of the $10.2 million for municipalities. So there are some things that you can use the eligible use of the funds. The period that we can ask for reimbursement for is from March 1st through December 30th. They've given us one day of rest for 12/31, so we can all have a COVID New Year's party. I don't know. but some of the eligible items are payroll costs. Specifically, for example, I can use, if you have a police department, so any costs associated to support the management or enforcement of stay-at-home orders, so if you had police, township police or anything that have been used to help with the public safety and to enforce the stay-at-home orders, any costs related to the continuation of group health insurance during that period of March 1st through December 30th, any insurance premiums or unemployment costs. And again, those are related to COVID-related expenditures. So say, for example, you had maintenance staff that you had to redeploy to help with COVID cleaning. You can, those are reimbursable costs.
Must have documentation though.
Yes, and you also have to include your copy of your payroll records as well. Your timesheets, if you have timesheets. The other things that we can reimburse for, anything related to COVID that was not budgeted in your general budget, any specialized equipment that you might need, say for example, if you had barriers that you put up to provide protective equipment for somebody in your office, any PPE like masks, disinfectant, face shields, those kind of things, or any employee training expenditures in order to comply with the CDC guidelines. So if you had some costs associated with any kind of training, that's eligible as well. Do any of you with a nod or some kind of notification, do any of you have any medical facilities or doing anything with COVID, like regarding testing in any of your townships or anything like that? That those are eligible expenditures, but if you don't have any, I'm not going to cover that. You can also, did any of you telework, close down, have any of your staff doing teleworking? Those are costs that can be reimbursed. So if you got some, you know, laptops or anything like that regarding technology for everybody to work at home, those are eligible costs as well.
And those will be in addition to what you already had. So if you didn't have laptops and you had to go out and buy a laptop, or you had to get a get something, a hotspot for the employee, the cost during the time frame between March 1st and December 30th could be covered if they were working from home for that time frame. Can't just, if you had a laptop in the office and you took it home with you, no.
Great.
But if you had to purchase a laptop specifically due to COVID, yeah.
If you had additional costs for like Zoom meetings, because you had remote Zoom meetings, if you had a Zoom subscription or anything to upgrade to to help you with those online meetings, those are eligible costs as well.
For instance, would the county have to upgrade its bandwidth for that time frame only? That additional cost. And
yes.
Kurt, okay. Had a question about solicitor's fee. As long as they were working on something that was specifically related to COVID.
Yes.
Yes.
That's an eligible cost.
Yes, we updated our sick policies and some other policies just for COVID because of the new things that went into effect with the CARES Act and things. As far as staying home for 2 weeks if you were exposed, those kind of things.
Yeah, absolutely eligible costs. Lost revenue, I'm sure you all know that lost revenue, unfortunately, is not an eligible cost at this time. We can't pay for any lost revenue.
We can't pay for lost tax revenue from tax revenue?
Yeah. And the general nonprofits and the others are not allowed to ask that too. So that's unfortunate for them because if they rent from a municipality and they're a nonprofit, they can't include their rent as a cost, because that's giving a municipality, or sewer and water bills, that's reimbursement to a municipality, so, yeah.
So the application does include some certifications. You all, because of being municipal governments, are aware of the right to know. The right to know law is part of this. We will probably publish the amount of grant funds that you got. Your financial information is iffy, but because you're a municipal government, that could possibly be subject to the right to know request. So we do have a series of checklists on the application that I just need somebody, probably the chief elected official of the office of the municipality, should initial those. As you're all aware, with any kind of grant funds, when it's from the federal or state, there is a clawback provision. So in the event that something is audited and determined as an ineligible cost, there is the potential that you could have to pay that back to the county. This will be audited by DCED. We have monthly calls with DCED with their auditing staff. But if there is a finding and the money has to be returned, it will have to be returned to U.S. Treasury. So,
really quickly, if I could, one of the things that I saw in there was internet access and broadband. So one of the things we had done, tying into the solicitor thing too, we'd reached out to our solicitor to find out about passing an emergency authorization to contract with a local internet provider to expand internet service in our township, because, you know, Verizon sucks. We complain about this for a long time. So can we use this fund to kind of supplement what we were putting out there as a township to support the rollout of broadband to meet the emergency need for people who are in home health care or kids that are having to stay home and log in and that sort of thing?
I would think so, as long as the costs are documented and they're related to COVID. Yes, you can't just upgrade the broadband just for the sake of upgrading the broadband. You have to have the justification as to how it related to COVID.
Okay, so we have letters from a woman who has cancer and yet has to stay home for medicine and do telemedicine, but also teaches and is teaching from home. So that would count, right?
I would think so.
Justification for why we're doing what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah, I would think so.
Just be careful. It can't have been in your budget.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was something that you had budgeted for previously, you know, then no. But if it's something that came off, let's say April, somebody called you and said, hey, you know, can you do something? And you reacted to that, then that's definitely.
Yes.
If it's a monthly cost.
It came up in April specifically because we knew we wanted to roll it out. Now, you may know who I'm talking about in terms of an internet provider, but we've been kind of struggling to say, look, get off the dime and put something up. An emergency can only last for so long, apparently till December 30th.
Yeah.
Right.
Good news. You gave us till then.
Yeah. If it's a monthly cost, it can only be for between March 1st and December 30th. So you would have to, after that, it would have to find a different funding source. But if it were an equipment cost, Kristen, how does that work?
An equipment cost for broadband?
Yeah.
For equipment? It has to be, Steve, did you purchase any equipment?
We're basically providing an incentive to an internet provider to expand in our territory. So like that house over there will get service finally because they need it because they have kids in school, that sort of stuff.
Okay. I would think that's an eligible cost that we just need to know. You might have to, did the township declare any kind of emergency declaration as a part of that?
Well, yeah, every 90 days or something, we have to meet at we're meeting at the back of the trailer, the tailgate of the guy who's our emergency management coordinator and signing the paperwork, keeping our social distance.
Yeah, I would think that that would be an eligible cost and that
okay.
If there's any equipment, you just have to adhere to
procurement guidelines.
Your own township procurement guidelines. So if there's something that I know for some expenditures within the county, they're adopting emergency procurement procedures because their procurement policy is pretty stringent. So if you had
we checked with PSAPs,
okay,
the legal requirements there, and we were inside two different ranges of being able to just contract directly. One of them was because it's less than a certain amount, dollar amount, and the other one was because it's an emergency, you can almost do anything you want.
Right.
Unless you're the governor, in which case you can do whatever you want. Oh, wait, this is being recorded. Yeah, I said it.
one of the things for clarification purposes is if you have to do, now when we do an emergency purchase, we actually put together that as a legal document that is prepared by our solicitor. So that might be something that you may have wanted to cover, but yeah.
Did reach out to our solicitor and ask the question you said, is, well, you know, this is an emergency thing, so therefore.
Yeah.
I mean, not a big surprise when we reach out to, if we had decided to bid it out, there are no other two.
Right.
Well, and that's another. Then just justify, just put that in the paperwork, Steve, that's the only one that's, you know, within a 200-mile radius or whatever it is. But
yeah.
We don't have the half a million that Comcast would want. So.
Right.
Go ahead, Kristen. There's a question there on unemployment and insurance premium.
Yeah. Sylvia, can you expand on that? What are you just, you're muted.
Can you unmute, Sylvia?
There you go. I'm just looking at your list, the instructions, and it just says insurance premium, unemployment compensation costs. So I was a little confused with related to, I mean, insurance premiums. I mean, we pay insurance premiums for our employees. So I didn't know how that was going to relate to COVID.
Did you have any employees that were laid off during the time?
No.
No. Okay. So you all worked.
We did. We had to.
Yeah. That's
expense, really, in my mind.
Pardon me?
I think that would be just a normal expense.
Yeah. 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 If there was anything that you took out that was COVID related, then I would think that would be eligible. But if it's just a regular payment that you've already budgeted for, I don't think that's an eligible cost.
All right.
Shannon, would you concur with me on
yes,
that?
Yes, I would. And I think, I know there were some issues, Sylvia, I'm not sure which municipality you're from, but I know that there were some issues at the city that maybe they had to lay off some employees. I know that there were some counties and other municipalities where they did have to lay off employees. And we believe that that's what this is referencing.
Yeah, it's in regard to anybody that's been furloughed or laid off.
Okay.
Do you have other specific questions for us that we can try and answer?
No.
We definitely, I mean, and try to think about as much of your expenses as you can. As Kristen said, you know, if you had maintenance guys that had to stop what they were doing and prior to opening back up the playgrounds, if you had to send them out to do cleaning, I know in our case, our sheriff's deputies had to man the recycling centers. That's not something they normally do, but we had to change to those drop-off centers. If you don't normally send police to certain events, but had to do crowd controlling. I know some of our deputies are going to high school football games now to try to manage some of the crowds in case there's a little unruliness going on and people upset with the limited number of people entering the facilities. Anything that would not be a normal duty. And if it's less than 75% of their time, you would have to document that. You would have to show, okay, X day for so many hours and what was their duty. And also remember if you bought a fogger, yes, video conferencing equipment would be eligible if it wasn't already in your budget. It was something you purchased specifically because of COVID. Video cameras, webcams. I know a number of people at the county, they may have had a laptop, but they didn't have a printer at home. And printers are not exactly, normally something you carry around with you. So they may have had to purchase an additional printer for somebody to work at home because of needing to do that, a scanner, something like that. As long as it wasn't in your budget, Chris, what's the date for it being in the budget? As long as it was an expense from March 1st forward,
yeah,
and it wasn't in your 2020 budget.
Right.
I mean, it can't be something that you were discussing in February that you want to bid out. It had to have happened after the March 1st COVID timeframe.
Right.
So,
I mean, I think the two things that you need to keep in mind is one, that it was never budgeted in your regular budget, and two, that it's, you have to justify somehow that it's COVID-related expenditure. So when you keep those two things in mind as you're going through your application, I think that will...
If you have a police department and you had to, due to certain circumstances, I mean, sometimes you have to clean your vehicle. But if you put together a protocol to clean the vehicle after every time somebody was transported due to COVID, so that cost would be something that you would want to look at. Because of the cleaning costs, other than, you're not just going in there wiping down with a few sanitary wipes. So if you bought a fogger, I know the county bought a fogger for our prison and our... a number of our other departments, where they would go around, fog all the door handles and sanitize and do additional sanitization at nighttime. So those are definitely some items to think about.
The other thing that I thought of that we had a couple questions from the last call was like upgrading your HVAC equipment, within your township building or within your municipal building, if you're putting something in there for additional air transfer that you didn't, so that your air's cleaner. I think the county has done some purchases for their HVAC stuff, and we had some of the nonprofits do that as well.
There was an ultraviolet system that the county is purchasing and going to be putting into the courthouse. The other item too, if you had to buy thermometers, if you were doing daily temperature checks, those items would be covered.
Kristen, another question. In the beginning, while the operations continued, we did have employees sent home to help alleviate, and maintain social distancing here.
Yes.
So would those hours be eligible for reimbursement? We didn't have all our employees that were able to work from home, and it wasn't till later that we were able to do that. So I think we've got some expenses for getting set up for that, but we sent folks home to try to decrease the personnel running around here so that we could continue with operations, but we also continue to pay them.
Yeah, unfortunately, no. They would have had to have, if they were late, if you had to lay them off, then that would have come under the previous unemployment compensation cost insurance. If they were, their duties were altered, not just sent home, if they actually, you know, if rather than send them home, you would send them to clean up all the parks, wipe, you know, something like that. But just sending them home is not an altered duty, unfortunately. Okay. For instance, you know, most of my staff work from home, but they weren't doing anything other than what they normally do. They were just doing it from a different location. So they're not covered. But any equipment or setup yes. costs would be covered. The county had to add to its bandwidth. There was, first couple weeks were a little difficult working from home. So any hotspots you had to purchase or had a monthly cost for during the time frame of March 1 to December 30th. And if you have, let's say you do have a hotspot, you're paying a monthly fee, and you can do it up to December 30th. You just need to have the documentation to show that. But the other key things, have any of you received any other funding?
Like PPP funding or EIDL or anything? No. Okay.
So that's the other key thing, is they want to make sure that you're not double dipping.
Right.
So, of course. But we are here. We can answer questions. We have the website where all of the information is being put up. We have the main county planning phone number. We have staff that can answer questions. You can email us at thecovidrelief@lyco.org. We'll get some questions answered there. And if you come up with something that you're not sure, please feel free to call us. We'll be happy to discuss it with you and go over that. But we want to make sure that we do use our entire allocation. We do not want to have to send it back. We know there's a need out there. We have to make sure we're documenting it. We don't want to have to return any funding, and we also don't want to have to ask anybody to give their funding back because it wasn't spent properly. So.
Yeah, so if you have expenditures that you've already bought, you know, for reimbursement like PPE, we're going to need copies of those invoices. So anything that you've incurred, we need documentation for that.
And if you need to purchase some additional, let's say you purchased some back in the beginning, you repurchased some in the summertime, now you're going to have to do some for the next couple months. Now, you obviously can't purchase enough for the next 5 years, but you can purchase enough to cover you through December 30th, and just make sure you get the invoice, and if you know how much you're ordering, if you know how much it costs, just put it on your form, and then we will get the invoice from you as soon as it arrives. So it's better to think about what you need for the future also to cover you through December 30th, and make sure you put it in there. If it's a slight estimate, that's not a problem. We just can't, we have to verify what was spent though. We have to have that invoice for our auditing.
Steve, I had a specific question for you while we were talking about that internet stuff. Is there any construction involved in that?
Not really. He just basically puts telephone, the equivalent of a telephone or a power pole in and mounts onto that.
I'm wondering if it's going to trigger Davis Bacon.
Is that the state
That's
rate?
Federal prevailing wage.
Probably not if we're not paying him. I don't know. That's a good question. I doubt it.
You just might want to check with your solicitor on that one.
Okay.
That would. Yeah. If it doesn't trigger it, then we would be good. If it does,
anything over $2,000, any construction, that triggers Davis Bacon.
I'm not sure if that's considered construction or not, though.
Yeah.
Now, is it if the whole project is over $2,000, or is it if the labor portion of it's over $2,000?
The whole project's over $2,000. Which means you'd have to do federal prevailing wage and probably bid it out. I'm just thinking out loud here. Let's go. So I just thought of that while we were. The construction thing is, we have some other counties that we're helping to administer, and they're doing some construction projects, and they have separate bid documentation for that they have to do.
How hilarious will that be if digging a hole 6 feet into the ground throws this thing into prevailing wage?
Unfortunately, nothing surprises us anymore.
Right. I figured I better bring it up now rather than after.
I appreciate that.
After it's done.
But we do have a call with the state tomorrow, so we can give them a scenario and ask them, especially since it's an area where only one provider would be able to really fit. So
that's exactly the situation we're in. I mean, I could see us trying to figure out what prevailing wage would be for a 6 foot hole digger.
Yeah. The other thing is that the state has been very reluctant to fund broadband stuff with this money. I know that seems crazy.
Even though it's considered an eligible expense.
Yeah. So it's iffy if you have, I mean, just throwing that out there. They are not too keen on broadband projects. Everything that we bring up about broadband, they're like, do that at your own risk. So.
Oh, okay. I'm good with it.
You're good with the risk or not doing it?
You should know that by now, Kristen.
I know.
So what we do that one.
Right. And you know the government, they're very risk averse.
what would be the total cost, do you think, that you've expended for this?
I think supporting the effort of this provider to the tune of about $20,000. And what we had hoped to do was have an additional $5,000 in needs-based grant to families with students that needed to get equipment in the home so their students could do internet classes from home in the Montoursville School District. Now, I know some of that school district's needs have changed, so we have to evaluate what's going on there.
So that means you'd be granting money to somebody else.
Tell me the words I need to use and we'll use the right words. We would be offsetting the cost purchase of equipment by families of school age children.
So you would be.
Maybe not.
So you might be getting applicants who need to have internet at their home if they're school children. However, you're paying the bill. They're not.
That's not the, well, we may subsidize it as necessary as part of the conversation. I mean, with that one, we will run past the solicitor in general.
Okay.
I'm having trouble with the pass-through.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to be very careful about passing funds through.
Okay.
Offsetting part of the cost and you would be directly paying to the entity, maybe?
So if we were to work with internet provider zero, numbers one, or whatever you want to call it, IP1, if we work with IP1 and they have 50 accounts that have students that need it for school, if we were to pay a portion to compensate 50 accounts worth of bills, that would be okay. But giving money to the families to pay the bills would not be.
It probably would fly much better.
It would have half a wing instead of no wing.
And the only item also is it can't go past December 30th.
Okay.
But we will get some more clarification on that tomorrow.
Okay. So if we were to do it in a different way, if we were to subsidize if we were to pay for the purchase of the equipment for the home, not subsidizing the monthly bill, but perhaps pay for the routers to go into the homes. would that be acceptable? Because that's equipment. I really shouldn't be letting Kristen see how my mind works. This is not going to work
well
for me.
It's all right. No, I'm just... The problem I have is that it's not a direct municipal expenditure. You're giving it to somebody else.
Yeah, and see, the conversation we have on a regular basis up here is, in my opinion, this is Steve Brady speaking for Steve Brady, this is what we should be doing. We should be doing for our citizens what the citizens need.
I agree.
And in this way, it's a very direct thing.
That's one of the reasons why the county decided to give a direct allocation per student to the school district. Since for once the federal government relaxed a little bit of their requirements and said we can provide up to a certain amount without finalized documentation and invoicing. So the commissioner said we're going to allocate $3.15 million to the school district with up to $200 per student. So that is one thing that they have done, and we are accepting those applications right now from the different school districts.
Cool.
So that hopefully will help offset some of those additional costs. But yeah,
I'm just having trouble with that one.
We will definitely put some scenarios together and not name names tomorrow. And just ask some different scenario questions or Wednesday.
Awesome. Sorry to have the, edge case.
No, that's okay. I'd rather have it asked up front than you have to return the money later.
Absolutely. Any other questions? We know there's going to be questions. Just feel free to reach out to us. You know, we will answer them as best we can. If we can't answer that, we'll reach out to Kristen. If she can't, we will try to get you an answer. Unfortunately, DCD and the federal government are not good at answering questions. So, or are they very good at getting back to us in a timely manner? So hopefully it's something that we can answer, or we have a call from AMP that we can ask the scenario question without throwing anybody under the bus. So, but yes, we will be happy to answer those. We will happy to answer any questions. And the key thing is, if you know, we get your application and we see something's missing, we have our main staff, our admin staff, they're going to be going through. If you've got to send your W-9, you'll get a phone call. If you've got to send your invoices, you'll get a phone call, anything like that. And then once we get into the application and start going through all the different expenses, yeah, we might be calling you for clarification. Why was it an emergency purchase? Why was it this? Just getting a little more documentation on what it was, just so we have that for our auditing purposes. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Got a mail submission and a fax submission and email, but no ability to drop it off.
Oh yeah, you can drop it off.
You can drop it off. It's just, I'm looking at the backup, the support documentation. I worry about emails going through, unless you would be okay with like two or three emails, say one of three, two of three. There's just no way this would make it through in an email.
You may do that, or you are more than welcome to drop it off.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And if
you have one of those six foot long poles to hand it to you.
No, we have a desk out front. You can just set it on and we'll take it after we spray you down. If you do the email and just, like you said, do one of three, two of three, just so we know that there's going to be more to it.
Okay.
So not a problem. We're limited to the amount of documentation too here. So I'm trying to figure out how to get a 13 megabyte document over to CETACON right now.
Oh.
Not for you, Tracy.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, I'm going to be at the meeting tomorrow. I can bring it back with me if you want.
It's 1,400 pages. I really don't want to print it out.
Oh, Lordy. No, okay.
So, but yes, absolutely. Okay. Like I said, if you have any other questions, just let us know. We'll be happy to answer them or get an answer for you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
See you in a couple minutes, Kristen.
Okay. Hey, do you want to, you want to turn off when we're done the recording?
Sure.